And it is that time of the week, time for weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. Lots of action taking place this weekend in the NHL, the NBA, college basketball. Big weekend here in the world of sports. Joe Rexroad, give us a quick standings update so far in the competition. Still very early in the competition here in weekend winners.
So Robbie had the best week of our second week of this with a nice 4-2 and 5 points, got his lock. I went 3-3, got my lock also. Let's see, what were the locks? The lock, my lock was Vols against Auburn.
Carolina.
Yeah, the Carolina. The hockey treated you well last week. Good picks there. So I went 3-3, 4 points. Michelle, 1-5. The Kentucky lock did not come through. You did. You thought you were 0-6. You got Baylor right over Kansas.
In my defense, Kentucky did cover the spread. But we picked money line, so.
That is true.
There was no spread, yeah.
Which kind of stunk. Because Saturday, I was like, I don't know why Joe's saying I did bad. Like, I know Kentucky covered the spread. And then I was like, oh, we picked on Friday, and the lines weren't out yet.
That is correct.
Yep. So, 2 weeks, there's a tie at the top. And it's Robbie and Rex Road. 7-5 apiece.
Somebody take a picture.
How about, yeah, exactly. 7-5, 9 points. We're both 2-0 with our locks. Michelle? Only two games back at 5-7, but 5 points because so far you are 0-2 with your locks. So a little bit of a separation, but really easy to make that up quickly.
Yeah, no question about it. So let's get rolling here today on Weekend Winners. We'll start with tonight's matchup between the Lady Vols and the Alabama Crimson Tide, which is taking place at Bridgestone Arena, 8:30 tonight is tip-off. Joe Rexroad going to be in the house covering the SEC Women's Tournament this weekend. Joe, we'll start with you. The Vols and Alabama tonight. Who do you have on the money line?
You know, this is not an easy pick to make because I just watched Tennessee get beat pretty soundly at Alabama with Jordan Horison for most of the game. That's the game she got hurt in late in the game, loose ball, just terrible, you know, injury, a dislocated and fractured elbow. Tennessee is technically, you know, saying that, you know, at some point she hasn't been ruled out, but don't look for Jordan Horison to play anymore this season. She's their best player. It's a huge loss, but I think in Nashville with a large Tennessee crowd, I think they'll have by far the most fans in the building this weekend. In fact, there were quite a few Tennessee fans there yesterday for games not involving Tennessee. I think they get a little revenge and pull out a really close game.
Tennessee and a close one. I will also go Tennessee. I think it's going to be very close. I do not feel comfortable with this pick, and I'll go Tennessee by 3 in this game. Michelle, the Lady Vols taking on Alabama. Who is your pick tonight on the money line?
So this one was hard for me as well. I do think it's going to be a close game, but I think that the Vols will fall to Alabama by about 2. I think Bama's going to win this one.
So Alabama getting it done tonight, according to Michelle. All right, switching to the men's side of things. Vols taking on Arkansas tomorrow at Thompson Bowling Arena. I will go Vols on this one and make it my lock. I am locking down on Rick Barnes and company, which is a scary place to be, admittedly. But I think they have what it takes to get it done at home. They've just been so dominant there. They're such a different team at home, I feel like, with that crowd and that atmosphere. I think they'll shoot the ball well tomorrow. I think they'll shoot it a ton better than they did when they were at Arkansas, and I think they win by about 8. So give me the Vols in this matchup against Arkansas. Michelle, the Vols and Arkansas tomorrow. Who do you have on the money line?
So this one was a tough one for me because you guys know the way I traditionally go, but I think this is the best basketball that Tennessee's been playing. Obviously, earlier this year, we were kind of confused offensively how the team was going to look. Defensively, I have always looked strong, but I think they've finally figured it out on the offensive end. Kennedy Chandler looks solid. Sakai Ziegler, home crowd. I think that Tennessee is going to finish it out, go undefeated at home. And this is a big moment for me.
Man.
Painful exchange there from Michelle Knezovic, but she powered through it anyway. I'm proud.
You miss a couple locks, and all of a sudden, you got to embrace GBO, I tell you what, embrace Big Orange Nation. You're part of it now.
Hey, listen, right. Maybe if I pick it, then they won't win. So wow. We just.
Oh, I see.
We don't know.
I see what you're doing.
Already going reverse psychology there. I like it. Joe Rexroad, the Vols and Arkansas tomorrow at Thompson Bowling Arena.
Yeah, I was close to locking this. I won't, but I definitely like the Vols in this game at home. I think they wrap up an undefeated home season and look really good doing it.
Vandy taking on Ole Miss tomorrow. Nice last regular season game of the year for the Doors. Michelle Knezovic, we begin with you. Who do you have on the money line between Vanderbilt and Ole Miss?
I'm taking Vanderbilt for this one. I think we've seen a lot of promising things from this team, especially with the addition of Liam Robbins earlier this season. I don't think Ole Miss is a particularly good team. I think they're at the bottom of the SEC, but I think Vanderbilt is making their way up there. I think they are going to get on another win, and give me Vanderbilt on the money line.
Joe Rexroad, Vanderbilt and Ole Miss tomorrow at 5 o'clock is the tip-off. On the road at Ole Miss, your selection for the money line in this game?
This is a hard one too, because how does Vanderbilt react to just the latest? I mean, how many times can a team be beaten down by these close losses? This team, really, this team could easily and should be sitting there right now in the NCAA bubble, maybe even on the good side of it. And instead, they're going to need a late run here to even have a shot at the NIT. Very disappointing. But Ole Miss is pretty bad, and I still think Vanderbilt, like, to blow that lead against Florida, a team desperate to get in the NCAA tournament, also means they had to play a lot of good basketball to build a lead and really control that game. I think they're going to go and beat a bad Ole Miss team.
Give me Ole Miss. I think Kermit Davis gets it done tomorrow. I think they hang around and they find a way to win a close game at the end. So I'll go Ole Miss on the money line. The Predators taking on the San Jose Sharks tomorrow. Joe Rexroad calling in a must-win game. If they lose, the season is over tomorrow against the Sharks. Joe Rexroad, your selection for the Preds and the Sharks on the puck line.
By the way, while I'm thinking about it, I wish that there was a Calgary college team so we could talk about the Calgary program.
Calgary program.
As soon as Crispy said Calgary, which is one of my favorite Canadian pronunciations, I thought about the Calgary program. Anyway,
Detroit.
Yeah. Yes. Preds lock. Lock down the Preds. They're not gonna lose both of these games.
Wow. They know they can't.
They know they can't, and they're going to respond. I feel pretty confident in that.
So Joe Rexroad locking down on the Preds. I too will take the Preds on the puck line. I said UC Soros and call your shot Friday. We'll have a shutout. So I'm sticking with it. If you guys have a shutout, they're gonna win. Give me the Preds on the puck line. Michelle Knezovic, the Preds taking on the Sharks.
I think we're going 3-for-3 for this one. I'm going to take the Preds, too. They definitely need a win, and I think with these, like, this next stretch, they kind of are back out of that emotional weekend, get their heads back on straight, get a win, and then begin the push to playoff season.
So all three of us going with the Preds against the Sharks. We move to the individual selection portion of the program. Joe Rexroad, you're up first, your first individual selection.
Bama LSU, It's probably not a good idea to pick an Alabama game because, like, they could go out and beat anybody, and they can pretty much lose to anybody. But actually, you know, LSU, a heartbreaker, she probably should have won at Arkansas. I think they've kind of figured some things out. Give me the Tigers.
So going with the Tigers.
Go Tigers.
I like it. Michelle, your first individual selection.
Okay. This is really big for the program right now, and I hope both of you have your ears open.
The program.
Kentucky at Florida. I'm choosing Florida, and that's all I will say.
Oh, my God. Are you okay?
Listen, it is just one of those games where Florida has nothing to lose, right? They're at home, the push to the tournament. Kentucky is just, you know, they're sitting in a good spot right now heading into the SEC tournament, right? 2 or 3 seed people have them at in Gainesville. You know it's going to be a rocking crowd. We just saw that Florida team beat Auburn. Auburn also has not beat Florida since 1996 in Gainesville. Isn't that insane?
That is insane.
So,
not to change your pick, but Florida has a ton to lose. I mean, Florida's on the bubble. Like, they got to have this game.
That's why they're going to win.
No, but I mean, like, they're playing for their lives. Okay, maybe nothing to lose.
You said they have nothing to lose. Yeah.
Well, they're just, I mean, this is their last shot kind of type thing, unless they make a run in the SEC tournament.
Yeah.
So
I like it.
Yep. That's what we're going with.
It's a big moment here on the show. My first selection will be the Tampa Bay Lightning -1.5 against Detroit tonight. Tampa Bay got destroyed last night by Pittsburgh, 5-1. John Cooper got kicked out of the game with Wes McCauley, and Wes McCauley ran him out of the game. Anytime you make the Lightning mad, that's probably not a good idea. Lightning -1.5 tonight against the Detroit Red Wings. Michelle, your second individual selection.
Wait, did Joe not go?
He went first.
Oh, he went first. Yeah. Oh, sorry about that. My second individual selection is the 76ers at Miami. I talked about this earlier in Call Your Shot. I think what we saw from Miami, you know, they're the first in, or they're leading the East right now. They played the Bulls, who are the second in the East, a couple days ago, and they definitely gave it to them. I'm loving what I'm seeing for them. Only lost by one from to the Bucks the other day. Beat the Nets last night with Kevin Durant. Give me the Heat on the money line.
I like it. So taking the Heat against the 76ers. My second pick, the Bulls have lost three games in a row, and they got destroyed by Miami earlier this week. Michelle was in person to watch the Bulls last night as well. They're on the second half of a back-to-back tonight at home. They're 5-point underdogs to the Bucks. I don't think they're going to win, but I think they'll cover the 5. So give me the Bulls +5 against the Milwaukee Bucks tonight at home on the second half of a back-to-back. Joe Rexrode, your final individual selection.
Well, last week, you guys just ripped me mercilessly when I picked Gonzaga. I was wrong against St. Mary's. You thought it was such a I said rivalry. I said throw out the records. I mean, you know, so I haven't heard
Alabama football on the money line against Alabama State to open up the season, too. It's going to be good.
Well, maybe I will. That's an in-state rivalry. You know? It is. Let's remember that. Texas, Kansas. Give me Kansas. And I don't want to hear anything about it.
Going with Kansas to get a win against Texas in basketball. Good stuff. Like that, too.
Texas is a ranked team. It's a rivalry, a ranked team. Kansas very up and down.
I'm just kidding. I like it. That's a good pick. There's nothing. I take no issue with that.
You guys need to send an apology to St. Mary's basketball program. Very, very respectable. I mean, they're like going to be like a 6 seed or something. Like that.
You should have seen legit the look team, on. Man. Should have seen the look on Joe's face last week. We're standing in the locker room. Or outside, waiting to go in the locker room at the stadium excited. Series. And Joe was like, where's Robbie? Where's he at? And that's all we talked about. Gonzaga, St. Mary's. It's good stuff.
Yes. It's the biggest hockey event in Nashville history. And, you know, we're quibbling about St. Mary's Gonzaga basketball.
This has been Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe, Michelle, good luck this weekend.
Also, I forgot to do a lock, so just make Florida, Kentucky my lock, okay?
Whoa, wow. You're even going to lock against your – oh, my.
I guess goodness. You got to risk it to get the biscuit, right? I was like, oh, my goodness, wow. I didn't do a lock. So.
There you go. Locking do the gear. Down. Yeah, do the – there it is. There it is.
Locking down. Oh, this is a big moment here on the show. We'll come back. We'll take more of your thoughts on our text line. Get back into the Titans as well coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team with 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We got John Hines coming up at 9:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds as they take on San Jose coming up tomorrow. So let's go to the text line. Got a texter says, hey, Joe, what do you think? You keep Landry, draft a tight end first, and then a wide receiver to replace Jones when he is gone. Is that bad logic? This is coming from an unnamed texter on the text line.
I get the idea. Just to make sure I'm understanding, then you're saying draft a tight end the first round? Is that the?
That is the way I'm reading it.
Yeah, there's no first round tight ends. And what you definitely do not ever, ever, ever do as a GM in the NFL is reach for a player because you have a need at that position and not take the better football player. You know, you want to take the better football player to position and need. The Titans certainly have plenty of them, but
Sure.
Now, I don't think there are going to be any tight ends taken in this draft based on the evaluations. So, you know, now.
Well, the first round.
There
will be tight ends taken in the draft.
Oh, yeah. I apologize. I don't think there'll be any more tight ends who play in the NFL.
Position itself is going to dissolve, and there will be no more.
Everyone's going with the old run and shoot. All little Smurfy receivers and one back set. No, but I don't think there'll be any taken in the first round. So I guess your plan, if you're able to trade out of the first round, does that make sense? Maybe. I don't even know. It's going to be interesting. Now, you know, I say that, and there may be one guy who really emerges here, and there's a tight end who goes late first or early second, but I could see the first tight end not going until like mid-second or later. So that's the only way that I would follow that plan. But I do agree on you can get a good receiver probably like in the third round still. But you can get a really good maybe receiver in the first round, which is still where I'm leaning without knowing exactly what they do in free agency.
Well, and I think to that point, you know, the Titans, I believe, are more likely to find a tight end in free agency than they are wide receiver. Like, you know, we've heard Chris Godwin and Allen Robinson and a couple of different names get tossed our way the last couple of days. Like, to me, are you really going to get yourself involved in a Chris Godwin sweepstakes when you're talking, you know, how much money is he going to make in the open market? 16, 17, 18 million per year? Like, you can't do that if you're the Titans.
No, like, I mean, I'm just guessing. Like, my math doesn't even get them to the point where they can sign a mid-level player. But, like, I'm guessing they can, you know, find, like, 7, 8 million to use. And maybe it's a lot more than that. But when you consider, again, the Landry thing, I guess if you end up not signing Landry, then that opens up more. But that's a mid-level player. And I think that I just think tight end is – I like the crop of possibilities at tight end, I think, better than at receiver at that level.
Yeah, I do too. And I think when you look at this draft, I mean, there's going to be somebody available at wide receiver when you're picking at 26th. That could be a good player. Now, that doesn't mean that they're absolutely going to take a wide receiver with that pick, but, you know, wide receiver, I think, is certainly one option that they have, and there should be guys at 26 that are available. But, you know, I still think there's a real chance that maybe they trade Dak. Like, I don't know. Obviously, I don't know what the deal is going to be and who's going to be interested to move up with them, but I think the idea, and Corey Curtis brought it up earlier this week, he's banging the drum for them to do it and acquire more picks. I don't think that's the worst idea. And unless there's just somebody there that you're in love with, and maybe they are. Like, maybe there's a receiver there. Maybe there's an edge rusher there. I said this yesterday. I did find it interesting that one of the first positions that J-Rob talked about when he was talking about with the draft was how deep it is at edge rusher. That was interesting to me.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that kind of goes along with, can't afford Landry. You got Rashad Weaver coming back. You draft someone you really like, and then you still have some nice compliments for the other three guys who are still very good. That would put a lot on Bud Dupree. But then again, there's already a lot on Bud Dupree given his contract next year. But, you know, yeah, it is interesting. It's just how much you want to read into things, like the order of things that come into someone's head when they're up at a podium. I don't know.
Yeah. Dennis on the text line says, where did it go wrong with Josh Reynolds? After the injury, was it just a case of him throwing a fit about playing time, or was there more to it? This is coming from Dennis on the text line. By the way, Josh Reynolds will be a free agent.
Well, the injury thing can't be ignored because, again, he barely participated in camp. And then I remember they had like the open Nissan, the thing they do every year at Nissan Stadium, and he caught like a 60-yard pass, and he looked really fast. Like, oh, okay, see, now you can see it. This is the idea. A faster guy who can complement A.J. Brown and Julio Jones with that vertical threat. I mean, the one thing that came up, whether they directly said it or it was kind of like indirectly Vrabel talking about playing without the ball and blocking everything, clearly Josh Reynolds, that's not a strength for Josh Reynolds. Now, my question then is, so why did you think it was, or why did you think he would fit in the first place? I think the answer is probably that they thought he was just going to be more explosive, and that you can overlook that stuff. You know, if you have a guy who can help you that much in the pass game. But I mean, the only answer I have is the health hurt him. He didn't fit stylistically, and also, like, there were other guys. I mean, I'm sorry, but like Westbrook Akina does exactly what they want receivers to do in this offense. And Marcus Johnson, even though he was hurt a lot of the year, was ahead of him. Chester Rogers was ahead of him. So some of it was also just a numbers game that you didn't really anticipate when they signed him, because some of these, you know, either rookies or especially like just sort of like the, you know, low cost veteran pickups they had just ended up being better than him.
Heidi from Dixon on the text line says Jarvis Landry would be better for the team than Harold Landry. Bud should replace Harold's production since he is healthy now. It's coming from Heidi from Dixon.
I feel like Heidi's a total Harold hater. Am I wrong on that? I feel like Heidi's every day is like saying why they should not sign Harold Landry.
Well, she wants Clowney back.
So it's now Heidi's Clowney. It's not Joe's Clowney anymore. It's Heidi's Clowney.
That's right. I don't know if they're going to get in the Jarvis Landry sweepstakes either.
No, I would not. I would not think so. There, you know, there, it's going to be, I think, Julio. Now, look, it just doesn't work out. That's the problem. It's like, okay, if you want to go sign someone because you're getting rid of Julio, well, it doesn't work out. Like, you know, like the money doesn't work out timing wise. So I think it's Julio, it's AJ Brown, some of those low cost young guys, and then I don't know, maybe one low cost free agent with a rookie. But I would advocate using significant draft capital on a rookie you feel like could come right in. There's a lot of rookie receivers these days in the NFL who come in and make a major difference right away.
When we come back, we'll be joined by John Hines, Nashville Predators coach. We'll look ahead to the matchup against San Jose coming up tomorrow. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Getting Rickrolled, Rex Road. I don't know what to do with this on a Friday.
I love this song.
Maybe the song.
Maybe the greatest music video of all time.
I mean, it's memorable. You won't forget. You watch it one time, you won't forget it.
I don't think there's any question about that. You're streaming live today on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio as well. Going to be joined shortly by Preds head coach John Hines. Looking ahead to the Preds matchup against San Jose coming up tomorrow. Big game for the Preds against San Jose. Want to make sure you get back on the winning side of things after a tough one the other night against Seattle. It's a big one tonight or tomorrow night for the Preds. And I'm interested to see, you know, how they come out and take care of things from a puck management standpoint. Way too loose with it, I thought, the other night. Seattle deserves credit for that, but this is a big test for them coming back tomorrow against San Jose.
Yeah, it's this can't be great, you know, to have this extra time. You know, you probably like to get right back out there, but it's also some extra practice time, get ready for a really important game.
Well, and they're about to have plenty of time where they can get right back out there with playing basically every other day is basically true. About what's happened. So we'll see what happens on that front. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, and welcome in Predators head coach John Hines. John, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
I'm doing really well. How about you guys?
We are great. We appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, John, you talked after the game and mentioned, you know, attention to detail multiple times in your responses after the game and how that really just wasn't there for the most part against Seattle. Now that you guys have kind of had some time to digest that, what do you think went wrong from that standpoint in Seattle, and how do you go about correcting that as you move into the game against San Jose?
Well, one of the things, Robbie, is we always talk with the team about is that, you know, you have to be able to ice a game that gives you the best chance to win. And for us, there's really some key components to that. One, it has to start with, you know, our competitive nature and your work ethic. And we get out-competed and we get out-worked. So if those things happen, that's the first pillar where you don't give yourself a chance to win. The second part is we talk about being disciplined of details. So, you know, when we don't have the puck, how you check, your responsibility to play as a five-man unit. You know, you do your job so your teammate can do his job. And basically in most facets of the game, We got outworked. We got outcompeted. So our competitive spirit and competitive nature wasn't what it needed to be to win at the NHL level, regardless of who you play. And our discipline of details, the way that you check, you know, odd man rushes and point blank chances against, wasn't at a level that it needs to be to win in the NHL, regardless of who you play. So we've addressed that. We've shown some video, again this morning, and give our players an understanding of why we think the way we think. And we got to have a good hard practice today and make sure we're ready to go for tomorrow.
Why do you think that was the case, John? And then also, was it more what you wanted up until you took the 2-0 lead in that game? Or am I reading into it, too much that maybe there was a little bit of a relaxation from that point?
Well, I think it's I thought the start of the game was okay, but I think even when you look at the first couple shifts in the game, they were on it. Like they established territory. They put us on our heels a bit from the first shift. Now we played some pretty good hockey in that time, but I thought it was more 50-50 at that point, where we were like, I was looking at the game on the bench like, okay, this is a 50-50 game. We've had some pushes. They've had some pushes. Like, this is going to be a competitive game. We got up 2, and then some of those details cost us. But I also felt, though, Joe, before that happened, that there was some near misses on their part, that it wasn't a 2-0 game, in my opinion.
Preds head coach John Hines on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John, is there any update on Alex Carrier at this point? I know David Poile said earlier this week that he would be on the trip and maybe could play on Saturday. Is there any update on that at this point?
There's a possibility he could play on Saturday, but we'll see how he's at. We don't practice till 1:00 here Pacific time, so I'll have a probably better feel where he's at after practice today.
So, John, from the outside, we look at a game like this, like, okay, well, Seattle is, they're an expansion team. They're one of the worst teams in the West. So this is a game, a game where it's like, okay, this, could there be a lineup change resulting from this? Could there be one, I don't want to say like a fire and brimstone speech, but maybe a more intense reaction from a coach. But I know you don't look at things the way we look at things. So, like, do you look at this loss as any more of a loss because of the competition, or is it just like, hey, this was an off night, go to the next one and get better?
Well, I think that what happens a lot of times, as you said, is that, you come into a game like that and you look at standings, and when the result doesn't go your way, like you said, the outside reaction gets more emotional than if you lost to the Florida Panthers. But I also think you have to understand as a coach that your team is the same way. You're really working on the mindset, and which I think why you hear us say all the time is we have to ice a game that gives us the best chance to win, regardless of who you play. Because no matter what a team's record is, you're in the National Hockey League. It's the hardest league in the world. There's NHL players, there's NHL coaches, they're getting paid, they're trying to win. Like, they can ice a competitive game too. And if you're not at the level that you need to be at for your team to play to your identity and to have your team going, anybody can beat anybody on any given night. So my concern isn't so much, I'm disappointed in the end result, but to me as the coach, it's more the process of, like, we didn't ice the game that gives us the best chance to win. So how are we going to rectify this to make sure in the next game we're giving ourselves the best chance to win the hockey game?
John, what have you thought overall of the decisions as of late from your defensemen to pinch in the game or to hang back? Do you think there have been times where they've been too aggressive there? And what's that balance like as a coach when you're trying to say, you encourage your defensemen, to make plays when they see them and to be aggressive in the neutral zone at times. But what's that balance like of maybe at times being over-aggressive? How do you drill that down as a coach?
Well, it's decision-making, and the decision is pretty clear. Like, that's what I'm saying. Some of our attention to detail right now isn't on point. And, if a defenseman is going to pinch in the offensive zone, there has to clearly be, one of our jerseys above theirs in the middle of the ice, which means as I'm coming in and I'm going to be a defenseman that is going to be actively pinching or aggressive, as that comes through, I have to have some awareness of what's coming on from the middle to the weak side of the ice, and do I have an F3 in that position? And if I don't, then I have to live the fight another day. And if I do, then it's on the responsibility of that D-man to go down. And when he goes down, he has two things. He has to get man and puck. Sometimes we pinch, we don't have the F3, and we don't get the man or the puck, and then it's an odd man rush. But when a D-man pinches, it's always, you know, you have to get two things, one of two things, but you can't get none. So those are some areas that need to be tightened up for us. And when we're on our game and our details are there, you know, it makes us very difficult to play against, where we can half-ice teams and put teams on their heels, but you got to have attention to detail.
Do those moments, John, coincide, I guess, with maybe stretches of struggling to generate offense, if you get what I'm saying? Like, is it creeped sometimes in your players' mind? You know, here's an opportunity here. We haven't had a lot going in the offensive zone, or is that not related?
You know, sometimes, Joe, I think that, you know, that can happen. But, you know, in general, if you're not producing a lot of offense, a lot of it comes down, or in a game, the other team's on the heels. Lots of times is our process the right thing? You know, sometimes it's not always just because you're not being as aggressive as you need to be. You know, the other night, our puck execution, for example, we're coming up out of our own zone or through the neutral zone. It was, you know, we didn't connect on passes. We passed the guys that were covered. We turned some pucks over, and then they kept coming back at us in waves. And, you know, those are different things. I think as you go through and you're pinpointing, your job is to make sure that, okay, why did this occur? Why did we lose, and what needs to be fixed? And sometimes it's not always the deep pinching. The other night it was a combination of our checking up ice and our execution with the puck really cost us.
Let's take Coach John Hines on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John, last thing for you here. You know, I talked with you a little bit about it the other day, but just the balance right now of trying to find somebody to play on that Johansson line. We saw you shuffle the lines around a little bit the other night with Janot starting the game out with Johansson. Obviously, he's played really well at the Sissons line as well. Just kind of what's that process like right now of trying to find different combinations that work while not trying to mess up the chemistry that's already there with some other lines? And to that point, when you know that chemistry is there and that you could put those lines back together at any point, does that maybe allow you to experiment a little bit more this time of year?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think we really feel good about Granlund's line. You know, the chemistry that they've had. I thought, particularly for the first two periods in the Seattle game, they were our best line. They were our most threatening line. So I still like that combination in the Seattle game. Power plays a different story with some of those guys in the Seattle game, but 5-on-5, I thought that line was pretty good. Sis's line, you know, with Janot and Trennan, you know, that's a line that you don't usually want to mess with. We did make some changes in the Seattle game. We didn't like how those changes worked out. I thought it made Sis's line less effective. Bottom line is we have to get some more from Johansson himself. And then we've got to get some guys around them that you know, can make that line a formidable line. And right now, that's the challenge. We're spending a lot of time on it. We're trying different options. We're meeting with players. But we need, you know, I think it's a combination of Ryan getting back to playing fast, playing hard, being a driver, being consistent, using his talent level at a high level, and then also having some guys around him that are gonna help drive the line.
Preds head coach John Hines, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds taking on the San Jose Sharks coming up tomorrow at 7 o'clock. John, really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
All right, thanks, guys. Always great talking with you.
Absolutely. Great thanks, talking John. With you as well. John Hines, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what John Hines had to say there. Take more of your thoughts on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And I've got some tickets to give away to see the Preds take on the Anaheim Ducks. Coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday, March the 10th. Be caller number 5 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Ducks coming up next Thursday at Bridgestone Arena. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Preds Foundation Wine Festival and Tasting presented by Deacon's New South returns to Bridgestone Arena Friday, March the 11th. You can sample over 225 high-end wines, enjoy delicious culinary creations from local restaurants, and bid in an extensive silent auction as well. Tickets start at $89. Visit NashvillePredators.com/wine for more information. Speaking of more info, go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Right now, there are deals from everything from half off the Woodhouse Spa, half off dining at the Mainstay and Hard Rock Cafe, half off the Brooklyn Bowl, plus $50 free with a purchase of $100 in downtown dollars. You can check out all of Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Joe, that was an interesting interview with John Hines. I thought the most interesting part was, doesn't sound like he's a big fan of breaking up that Sissons line, did not like the way that went the other night, and says he needs more from Ryan Johansson himself as well as they move forward here, which I think that's fair to say. I think he's largely been very good this year, but you know he's going to have to, I think, be a little bit more aggressive coming down the stretch here, regardless of who his wingers are.
Yeah, so I think we can, you know, until further notice, stop talking about the herd line being changed. Gave it a look. Makes sense to keep it together. They got two lines they really like, and they got to figure out whatever works to get that Johansson line going. But that's, I mean, that is very interesting to me that he said, and they got to get more from him himself. We've been talking about, gosh, if you put this guy around him or that, you know, what would he be doing if he had Forsberg or Duchesne around him? But he's also got to be an $8 million player, as he has been, I think, for a lot of this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's still playing okay, but 5-on-5, there's got to be, you know, more offense there. And some of that's who he's playing with, but some of that is also on him to generate that offense. So that'll be interesting to see what combination they go with there coming up tomorrow. At the end of that game, Wednesday against Seattle, you know, Tomasino and Tolvanen finished the game with him. So I'll be interested to see what that looks like as they move forward here. Joe, some breaking news in the NFL is coming from Adam Schefter. Says, quote, the Cowboys are likely to release wide receiver Amari Cooper by the start of the new league year, per league sources. Cooper is due $20 million in fully guaranteed money on the fifth day of the new league year, which is March the 20th. So it looks like Amari Cooper is about to be released by the Dallas Cowboys. It's not a huge surprise. I mean, he's owed a ton of money, and quite frankly, he was not very good last year.
Not a huge surprise at all. I think a lot of people expected that. Of course, remember, back when Dallas traded for him, that was a big – in fact, I think I wrote like a plea, Titans should trade for Amari Cooper. Come, but it's worked out very well for the Cowboys. But I mean, they have other options. They're very deep there, and it's just he's just not that level of player anymore, I don't think.
Well, and CeeDee Lamb is pretty clearly their number one guy now, and yes, you know, when you're about to, at some point, you're going to have to pay him some money. You got Amari Cooper, certainly, you know, he was okay last year. He had 8 touchdowns, but he had 68 catches for 865 yards. I mean, that's not $20 million worth of money. So, not a big surprise.
Yeah. He's still only 27, so I mean, he's got good years left somewhere for sure.
You ready for the Amari Cooper, the Titans rumors?
Yeah, I don't – he's not going to be in their price range. He's not, you know, he's not worth the contract they had him under. He is not going to be in the Titans price range.
Yeah. It's interesting that this comes out now. You know, do you think Cowboys might want to trade him before they have to release him? Is there anybody out there that's willing to pay that much money for Amari Cooper?
I really be surprised. Really be surprised.
I would too. But hey, if you really want him that bad, you don't have to let him be a free agent at that point. You can just go get him.
That's right.
Call him up, J-Rob. You pay Julio Jones and Amari Cooper, and then pay A.J. Brown a big contract too.
So, I mean, you can't have too many former Alabama stars on your team.
No, you cannot.
although Rashawn Evans is leaving.
He's probably going to be gone at this point. Joe, big weekend here. Big matchup between the Vols and Arkansas taking place tomorrow as well. You'll be at the SEC Women's Tournament this weekend. Lots of basketball, and we are right around the corner in the men's game from tournament time and the women's game. It's already here. Tough loss for Vanderbilt yesterday. I thought they had it against Florida.
Very tough loss, and they'd be playing, you know, on the third straight day. They really were impressive against Texas A&M. They were really impressive for a lot of yesterday. I really like some of their young players, a couple of their freshmen, Sasha Washington and Ayanna Morgan, be really good players for them. But a brutal finish to that game in a lot of ways. And, of course, Florida lost one of its best players to what looks like a serious knee injury and then led for the first time with 8 seconds left. So they were very emotional after the game, having kind of, you know, won that for her. But for Vanderbilt, you know, they should be playing today. And that was a tough one for them to swallow.
Tough one for them to swallow for sure. Tennessee taking place tonight against Alabama at 8:30 is the tip-off time tonight at Bridgestone Arena. This is an interesting game for them. I mean, they've just been so banged up. And Kelly Harper, you know, you were talking a month ago before all these injuries took place of, you know, this could be a team that makes a deep run in the NCAA tournament. I'd be pretty surprised if that happens at this point, just based on their roster right now. But this is an interesting game, big game for them tonight against Alabama. We'll see if they can hold off the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, at this point, if they, you know, if they win today, I think that they're probably going to be fine to host, to be a four seed, to host in the first weekend. And, you know, they're going to play a good team if they play a five, like maybe in Iowa, maybe a Caitlin Clark in Knoxville. If they get to the second weekend, at this point, the way as they're constructed without Jordan Horson, I think that's a big win. Do I have time to quickly rant on Tennessee homers?
You have time to rant on anything you want to.
All right, real quick. So I'm going to call out specifically Wes Rucker. I love Wes Rucker. Good friend, great guy, does a great job. Covering the Vols. Yeah, friend of the show. But see, like, this is the type of thing that I just don't understand the mindset. So this is the Kai Ziegler thing is great, right? And, you know, Vols Twitter, you know, comes up big, and Vols fans, 350,000, awesome story. So Wes Rucker tweets yesterday, quote, "We'll see if Zakai Ziegler's GoFundMe reaches the same level of national discussion as a tossed mustard bottle. Don't hold your breath," end quote.
I saw this.
Come on, Wes. First of all, why are you even, like, why do we need to bring this up? I feel like if Tennessee fans are so bothered by the way that was covered, then why are you continually bringing it up? It's over. It was a stupid scene. It was not the end of the world. I don't think it was covered like it was, some kind of serious threat to national security, but it was a ridiculous scene. And I can attest, as personally dodging bottles loaded with dip spit, that it wasn't like awesome. Okay. It didn't, but like, why does that even have to be brought into something like this? This is a great story. No, I don't know if national media is going to go with the Zakai Ziegler story all big, but like, I just feel like there's this whole, like, we're the victim and people look at us differently than everybody else. And they rip our fans more and they hate us, the national media. Please get over this stuff. And Wes, just, it's just like, why are you plugging into this and making it so that people can lose their minds all over again about it? I don't understand it. Explain it to me, Vols fan.
The return of Vandy Joe.
I was just going to say that, Robbie. I was going to be like, Vandy Joe.
GP Joe is gone. Vandy Joe has walked back in the door. No, I don't know. Like, I think there have been – there have been some media members that have gone way too far with the Tennessee stuff. And some of them have been on our show. I think there's no question about it. I think some of them have fun with it, which is fine. Whatever. That's fine. It doesn't really bother me all that much. The mustard bottle stuff, Tennessee fans got to get over. I don't think it's really that big of a deal to admit, hey, yeah, that's pretty stupid. Let's not do that again. And it was pretty extreme. I mean, there was a ton of bottles being thrown on the field. But you're going to open this door again. Text line's about to flood after you. This is your fault.
Don't come after me, Vol Twitter. I want a nice, peaceful weekend.
Vol Twitter's this really nice thing, and now they're about to get after Rex Road again.
Yeah, but again, let's just keep it to, like, this is awesome. I don't know how much coverage it's going to get, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
And Wes, like, a toss mustard bottle. Yes, Wes, that's all it was. It was one toss mustard bottle. You were there too. Come on, Wes. I mean, believe me, I'm going to give Wes a lot of crap when I see him in person next time, which will probably be next week. And I actually invite Wes on the show to have a debate on this. But maybe we should do that. In fact, I will. I will invite him and we can go back and forth. But again, it's over. Leave it in the past.
It's not what Vol Twitter does, my friend. Which is good and bad.
Grudges are very much held. I've all Twitter.
There's zero question about that. I would encourage you this weekend, get out there, enjoy the good weather. Going to be some good weather at least today and tomorrow, this weekend. I got about 25 holes of golf in yesterday. It was good stuff.
That's amazing. Good for you.
I love it for you, Rob.
How'd you do? How'd you do?
Not bad. And then for the second half of it, I played with a former pro golfer, and he was working on my swing, so it's good stuff.
Jeez. That's a productive day.
It's intense.
Robbie's leaving us for PGA.
Yeah, I'm going to be on the PGA Tour very shortly. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. We'll be back 6 a.m. on Monday. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game.